A nearly two-minute ad from the men's shaving company Gillette has been getting a lot of attention. It falls into the category of social awareness advertising, when a brand takes on a social issue and builds a campaign around it.
The issue in this ad is what some people call toxic masculinity and how men perpetuate it. Here's a little bit of how it sounds.
Bullying.
The Me Too movement against sexual harassment.
Toxic masculinity.
Is this the best a man can get? Is it?
It's likely happening here in
bullying as well.
A problem.
We can't hide from it.
Sexual harassment is taking over.
It's been going on far too long.
There are scenes of boys bullying other boys, men harassing women, and towards the end, other men stepping up to stop the bad behavior. Our next guest says that framing makes sense, but if we really want to change toxic masculinity, we also need to look at how women contribute to it.
Monica Hesse is a columnist for the Washington Post, where she writes about gender and society. Her latest column is titled, How Should Conversations About Toxic Masculinity Deal with the Toxic Women Who Also Perpetuate It? Monica, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Now, for some of us who really don't know this term very well, what exactly is toxic masculinity?
I think that you could ask four different people and get four different definitions for what it is, because some men see it as an insulting term implying that being a man is toxic and there's something wrong with being a man. When I hear the term, I think of a systemic problem that has created a pattern of beliefs and bad behaviors in some masculinity and some expressions of masculinity. And because it's a systemic problem, I think that there needs to be a systemic solution rather than just addressing a few men to change how they behave.
Is it just the name, or should it be something that should be rephrased?
You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with the term as it was envisioned. Again, it's not saying all men are toxic. It's saying that there's a problem with some expressions of traditional masculinity. But it's a term that's become enough of a buzzword that some people are going to have a negative reaction to it immediately as soon as you start discussing it. And I think that that's where you start to wonder. Is there a way we can talk about this differently to invite more people into the conversation rather than turning them off immediately?
What was the Gillette ad trying to say about the issue of toxic masculinity?
I think that what the ad was trying to say is that there are a lot of patterns that we now look away from or excuse as boys will be boys. So some forms of bullying or name-calling, or physical altercations, we just sort of roll our eyes and say, well, that's how boys are. And I think that what the Gillette ad was trying to say is, that's not how boys are. Boys can be caring and sensitive and look out for each other in really positive ways. And so let's reframe the message to that. Let's invite men to dismiss those stereotypes and say boys will be boys doesn't have to refer to boys pulling girls' hair on the playground. It can refer to boys having conversations and standing up for each other and standing up for women.
In your column, you point out that maybe the ad should have had bigger roles for women in it. Explain that a little bit.
You know, I think that, again, we're not talking about bad things that individual men do. Just like in the Me Too movement that arose last year, we weren't talking about specific men who did specific bad things always. We were talking about office cultures that might have looked the other way in terms of sexual harassment, or an entertainment industry that made it possible for this to happen to lots of women. So, the bad actors who support these outdated opinions aren't always men. I receive a lot of reader emails. I'm a columnist, and so my inbox is always full. And it's really interesting to me when I receive emails from men saying, I do think that stereotypes, that negative stereotypes are reinforced about men, and it's not always the men who are doing them. One reader wrote me saying, the parent who always told me, boys don't cry, you better buck up, wasn't my father, it was my mother. Or a man who wrote in saying, I've never cried in front of my wife because the one time that I did, she got really uncomfortable and left the room. So I think that we all need to be a part of the conversation of, if we think these patterns are dangerous, how can we all be a part of breaking them and examine the way that we might perpetuate them, intentionally or not?
Monica Hesse is a columnist for The Washington Post, where she writes about gender and society. Her latest column is titled, How Should Conversations About Toxic Masculinity Deal with the Toxic Women Who Also Perpetuate It? And we're talking about, in particular, the Gillette commercial and the response to that. You talked about some of the emails that you've gotten from men talking about how women have enforced the ideas of traditional masculinity. One of the things that I've heard from other men too is talking about the fact that, you know, when a girl comes home and says, you know, Johnny pulled my hair, and the response is, that's because he likes you. Did you also get those kinds of stories too?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think that this is one of the points that I try to make in a lot of these discussions, that this is a system that is that's really bad for all of us. Because when a young girl hears he's only pulling your hair because he likes you, what she learns is he's allowed to do what he wants. It's I'm not allowed to complain about it. It's like, oh, I guess that affection is the same as torment. And boys learn that too. They learn that, if you like someone, the way to show that is to continue to harass her and pester her and not take no for an answer. So these are really unhealthy messages for boys and girls. And again, the he's only doing it because he likes you is something that that I'm sure men say too, but also, you know, that I heard a lot of mothers say to their daughters and continue to say to their daughters.
One of the things that I noticed in the commercial after watching it is the prominent role that African-American men played in it. Oftentimes, what you saw in the commercial was of African-American men stepping in to either stop someone from you know, saying something that was inappropriate or doing something that was inappropriate. You had a scene that's also on YouTube of a young African-American man talking to his infant daughter in the mirror. You saw a lot of that. And then you also saw some backlash, too, from white men saying that they were portrayed in a bad light as well. Did you also get emails talking about that dynamic?
I got one email, and the way that it was phrased was very black and white, because this man, the reader who emailed me, said there are absolutely no good white men in this commercial and absolutely no good black men or no bad black men. And I encouraged him to watch the commercial again and then email me again and you know, to please watch it closely. And when he wrote back, he said, oh, actually, there's a scene where a white man goes over and breaks up a fight between two little kids and tells them we don't treat each other like that. And, oh, I guess now that I'm looking more closely, there's a scene where a lot of men are lined up against barbecue grills chanting boys will be boys, you know, in a negative way. And some of those men are men of color. So I saw that sort of back. But I think that if you rewatch the ad, you'll sort of see that that's not a factually accurate complaint.
We're talking to Monica Hesse, style columnist for The Washington Post, about her recent column entitled, How Should Conversations About Toxic Masculinity Deal with the Toxic Women Who Also Perpetuate It?
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you found yourself saying that excusing behavior for boys with the phrase, boys will be boys? Maybe you've gotten uncomfortable when you've been around a man in your life when he is willing to share emotions. Maybe you're a man who's been on the receiving end of that for a man or woman in your life. How did that make you feel? What do you think about how some boys are boys and men are treated differently for showing emotion? What was your reaction to this Gillette ad? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org.
We'll continue this conversation here on Central Time after this short break. This is Central Time. I'm Darrell Conner.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Monica Hesse. She's a columnist with the Washington Post. She's with us to talk about the role women and men can play in preventing the issues raised by what's called toxic masculinity.
We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you seen this treatment of boys and men in your own family? Maybe you grew up with it or have experienced it as an adult. Have you ever noticed yourself saying things that enforce traditional ideas of masculinity? Or are you someone who's open to seeing men be more vulnerable? If you're a man, what role models have you had that have shown you how to be your own kind of man? Call 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@WPR.org. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Daniel in Milwaukee. Good afternoon, Daniel. Welcome to Central Time.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. So I spent a lot of time in the Army, and I'm a huge fan of fighting toxic masculinity, and I'm a huge fan of bystander intervention. I think they're really important things that particularly the armed forces are starting to come around to. And so I guess, you know, like in my life now with daughters, I try to work on not letting, you know, family members guilt them into giving them hugs and kisses when they don't want to. And I try to implement some of these things in my life as a father. But I guess the issue I have is the APA's using the definition of toxic masculinity and then defining that as traditional masculinity is the cultural piece that I see as problematic, and where people might feel like the positive attributes of masculinity are under attack. And I think the APA historically has been utilized by, I'll say, culture warriors on both sides to get outcomes they want through definitions. We saw that with, calling non-heterosexual behavior as, you know, variety of manias and mental illnesses. And so I'm interested in your comments on that.
Thank you for the call, Daniel. What are your thoughts, Monica, about, first of all, bystander intervention? And it seems to be that's one of the biggest things that the Gillette commercial was trying to promote.
First of all, this caller sounds like an amazing parent. I'm so glad you're raising daughters. You seem like an amazing father. I think that in terms of bystander intervention, I feel like what the commercial is trying to do is to say that it means a lot when someone calls out bad behavior. It means a lot to the victim. It's something that we can all practice in our own lives, and it's something that can be as simple as, you know, if you see someone being harassed on the bus, moving over and sitting next to the person who's being harassed and striking up a conversation just to let them know, you know, I'm here in your corner. I'm listening to what's happening with you. I thought that the caller's points about traditional masculinity and the APA guidelines were really interesting, and that is something that I've done a little research on, so I could comment on that if that would be useful.
Oh, absolutely.
So again, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not affiliated with the APA at all, but I did write a column about these guidelines and talked with several of the researchers who had done the research and who had originated this work. I think that the term traditional masculinity is a really confusing term, because it sounds like, you know, what are you saying? Are you saying traditional men are no good? I heard that term, and I immediately thought of my grandfather, who's a very traditional man in the sense that he was a soldier, and then he volunteered with the fire department, and he drove a garbage truck. He was very, very stoic and a good provider and all of that. What the guidelines are saying is not that is bad. My grandfather was a was a great man, is a great man, and I would hate for anyone to think differently. What the guidelines are trying to say is that some of the traits that we associate with traditional masculinity, like stoicism or dominance or individualism or the belief that you shouldn't ask for help, those can be really great, useful traits in smaller doses. They can be useful traits for both men and women. Where we run into problems are when men don't feel like they have the right to be anything else. When men feel like they must be stoic, or they're not a real man, or they must do it on their own, or they're not a real man. And when there's an over-reliance on those neutral traits or those positive traits, that's when we run into trouble. That's partially why men have such higher instances of suicide than women do, because when there's an over-reliance on these traits, they can lash out at others or lash in at themselves.
Monica Hesse joins us. She's a columnist for the Washington Post, and we are talking about what role women play in reinforcing toxic masculinity on the heels of the recent Gillette commercial. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Harley in Manitowoc. Hello, Harley. Welcome to Central Time.
Hello, and thank you. I wanted to call in because a lot of times when we're talking about gender, we forget to look at the LGBT community, especially the trans community. I'm a trans woman, and I know for me, growing up in the 90s and the 2000s, toxic masculinity left me in my closet until I was 25, 26, and I was finally had the courage to come out to start exploring that because I kept getting told all these boy traits. And I think that's one group of people that get missed in how much this truly hurts them because we kept getting pigeonholed into these toxic binaries that don't allow us to explore ourselves.
Thank you for the call, Harley. And Harley is exactly right. One of the things that we often do forget about is the LGBT community, in particular, the trans community. So how does toxic masculinity affect those communities?
I think that the transgender community is already so vulnerable in areas of discrimination and in areas of abuse. And I think that this is just another layer of difficulty that gets heaped on them when people are saying not only you can't be yourself, but also you must be this very narrow definition of what a boy is or of what a girl is. One of the most thoughtful emails that I've gotten in response to this. To this column was from a woman who's in a same-sex relationship, raising a boy with her wife, and she said that what stuck out to her is that she realized that even she has used phrases like "Oh, my son is all boy," because he's very boisterous and because he plays with trucks or things like that, and that she was sort of chagrined to think that this had even permeated her own way of thinking, and that she was going to be cognizant of making clear that if her son wanted to play with trucks and be boisterous, that was great. If that's who he was, that was great. But that she was going to try not to peg those characteristics necessarily to his gender. She was going to try to peg them to his personality.
Unfortunately, we only have just a few minutes left, so I won't be able to get a chance to get to this phone call, but I do want to mention that Gwen in Madison had said that young girls being sexualized in media and culture, but then telling young men not to look or touch, should be part of the conversation as well. What are your thoughts on that?
I really couldn't disagree more. I think that it's important to not sexualize young girls, but I also think that that people of all genders should be raised with the expectation that that they need to keep their hands and their eyes to them to themselves, and so I'm uncomfortable with any with anything that starts to sound like, if you're going to wear that, if you're going to wear X, then you deserve Y. I just don't think that that's a productive path for us to go down.
And with about 30 seconds left, how can men push back when women consciously or unconsciously say things that perpetuate these ideas?
I think that all humans deserve to have feelings. And I think that it's, I think that the conversation has to start there. You know, I deserve to be able to be sad. I deserve to be able to be vulnerable. Every human, male, female, non-binary, deserves to have the same wide spectrum of feelings.
Monica, thank you so much for joining us. That was Monica Hesse, style columnist for The Washington Post. She was with us to talk about the idea of toxic masculinity and what role women have in it.
Coming up Monday on Central Time, how do opioid drugs get into the United States? A big question in the border security debate. A drug policy expert answers that question. That and more coming up Monday here on Central Time.